This is the Radio Ronin Show on Podbash.com.
Yeah, hey, it's Radio Ronin. I wish there was pyro that would go off right there.
Pew!
It's Radio Ronin!
Pew!
Confetti. Welcome to the show. I'm Chugga. With me, as always, the lovely, the talented Mr. Tenny. The lovely, the talented Mr. Kenny D.
Wait. Oh.
Pew!
Confetti.
Yeah.
Over there, the sparkly, the effervescent DJ Takara.
That's the sound my confetti makes.
It's kind of like the
same thing I just did.
I wish we could have
mine
an entrance.
Was better.
The smartest man in the room. Thug Leap! Mr.
What's that one that's really, really loud and really annoying?
The Piccolo Pete.
Piccolo Pete.
Woo!
His is like from the Gremlins 2.
That's the worst. That's not what a Piccolo Pete sounds like.
Kind of.
Hold on, no. Do it again real quick. You never feed him after midnight. You don't let him get
exactly.
Wet.
Exactly. Anyway, welcome to the show, friends. We're so glad you choose to join us every Thursday for a brand new Radio Ronin located here at podbash.com. By
Indeed.
The way, the donate button is on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Please. It's now become quarters for Chunga. So,
dollars for Takara.
Man, we got a lot of stuff to go over. We have a lot of stuff to go over, but
we do.
Let's see. Where do we want to start? Oh, yeah. Well, there's that whole Kate Beckinsale thing.
Oh.
You want to just jump right into this?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I will explain more on Beckinsale because it'll be the three of us kind of like just real, real giddy.
I'm kind of starting to question your allegiance just a little bit, though, because you are Littlefinger. And I checked your Twitter, and it's like, oh, I'm a movie critic. Oh, and I'm on Beckinsale. There's no mention of Radio Ronin. There's no mention of Podbash.
I have noticed
it's,
that.
Oh, I'm on Beckinsale. And nothing else.
Is that really it?
Yes, you need to change that. You at least need to change it to Podbash. You got to put that on there somewhere.
I was pretty sure it still said that I was the former voice of Extends.
Nope.
That's what I used to say. Is it,
nope.
Is it joke and kind of real?
That stuff makes your wiener numb.
That's... How do you know?
I heard.
Oh,
host
great.
Of the Beckinsale podcast.
Yeah, there's nothing on there but Beckinsale.
Well, that's really low of me.
That is.
It's very little finger of you.
I'll have to change that.
Yes, you will. In fact, I think we possibly may want to edit the show and make you change it right now.
because if you don't, you're off the show, Kenny.
It's Radio Ronin, for heaven's sakes.
I don't know what that guy was thinking. He's crazy.
So you need to at least put Radio Ronin or Podbash or something on there, not just Beckinsale.
It's a little ridiculous. I send love where I need to send love. But can I ask you one thing?
Yes.
Have you guys ever really... are you named after a movie star and had her wear your shirts in my behalf?
Yes.
Well, I did promote that she wore your shirt.
Yeah.
On my Facebook page.
This is no. It's not a competition, but I will say that it was a very, very happy weekend for me, despite everything else that happens in life.
Yeah.
Something very...
This is going down as the worst year of our life.
Right.
For all four of us,
yeah.
To be perfectly honest with you. This has become... it's weird because, like, in my heart of hearts, 2016 doesn't feel that terrible.
Right.
But I take a look at what's going on around me, and I feel very much like Rome is burning and Nero playing the fiddle. You know? Like, I'm like, la, la, la. Just, and everything is collapsing.
Yep.
You know, it's been an absolute, just an abortion of a year.
Mm-hmm.
All the way. But this thing that happened over the weekend was just cool. It was just
so
awesome.
So incredibly cool. I mean, just to give you the real quick backstory, a couple months ago, we gave Kate Beckinsale one of our t-shirts, thinking that she would throw it away. I mean, that's really...
Well, I'm a little jaded, and you said, Joel and Jake and I are doing this, and we're very excited, and I kind of rolled my eyes. I'll be honest, I was like, oh, geez, Kenny, could you get any more Judy Jetson about...
Yeah.
You know, this is one of those things where, it to me, you for a moment, if I may be very honest, were the weird uncle at Thanksgiving dinner.
I've been
about
that
Kate
before.
Beckinsale,
okay.
Where I was just like, dude, please don't. Oh, okay, all right. He's really going to go. He's going to go do this. A, he's going to patronize the great Satan that is Comic-Con.
Sure.
And then he is, not because Comic-Cons are bad, it's just... The assholes that run it.
No big deal.
But you decided to go patronize this because Kate Beckinsale was there.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm taking her a Beckinsale t-shirt because our show is named after her. And I'm like, please don't. I actually asked you. I said, please don't do that, please. No, no, I'm doing it. And we're doing a photo op and everything. And I said to you, I said, Kenny, she's going to take the shirt. She's going to think you're a creeper. And that shirt is going to be in the garbage 10 seconds after the photo op is over with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, and you were like, nope.
We were sure of it. In fact, we knew, like, in our heart of hearts, we were like, if we're reading a People magazine, which we always do, apparently, or like an Us Weekly, and we see a paparazzi picture of her in a Bacon Cell t-shirt as she's just going shopping, we're like, that would be the greatest day of our lives, because that would mean she kept the shirt, she wears it casually, whatever.
You and I had talked about how cool it would be if she showed up on TMZ or People magazine were the two that we mentioned. TMZ or People magazine with her, like, walking around, I don't know, on La Cienega Boulevard or Rodeo Drive or something, wearing the Bacon Sale t-shirt.
Exactly.
And then we laughed. We were like, that's in the garbage 10 seconds after you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, we went to her booth like an hour after we met her, and there was the shirt with its bow, because Joel's wife wrapped a bow around the shirt.
And it was still in her booth.
And it was still in her booth, so we're like, it's not in the garbage yet, but maybe she'll just probably leave it behind.
Sure.
Because we're three guys in our 30s that just gave a t-shirt with kind of her name on it.
And when you're famous, you get gifts. You get tons and tons and tons of gifts. And people that are famous get really, really jaded to it.
Yeah.
Doing the radio show, I got tons and tons of gifts, but I kept everything.
Oh, you
I
did.
Still
okay.
have I have everything from bootlegged singles that people recorded in their bedroom. I saved absolutely everything, because to me, I thought it was really, really fun and really cool.
A really nice gesture.
So I have a room
full of
stuff.
Unless they're a stalker, and then you're like...
That has happened.
That's evidence.
Yeah.
it's I'm not a gift, to, it's evidence at
I'm
that
going
point.
To give you a specimen of my fertile seed.
I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry.
That was weird. I had a guy, Jason Crockett, give me a year's worth of toenail clippings. And then a year's worth of belly button lint. And yeah. So I've had all kinds of weird stuff, but I still have all of it. I saved everything. Even the toenail clippings. I saved everything. But most people don't do that. Most people, I've actually seen guests come into our show, and somebody would have come in, Trekkie Jill or Tony the Van Man, or somebody would have come in and said, hey, I made this for you. And they'll say, oh, this is the most beautiful thing ever. And the minute they're gone, they don't know how close I am to that individual. The minute they're gone, it's in the trash.
Yeah.
And I'm picking it up and hiding it somewhere because I don't want that person to see it in the garbage. That happened all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a mean thing. It's just that they can't be carting around all the free crap
that
people all. They just, there's no way. So,
you know,
I don't take it personally. Oh, yeah. The only rule I ever had was I would never eat anything that anybody ever brought me. I would never eat food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. I broke that rule with the MILFs. Our ladies that we love so much in
Life on the Rocks.
Life on the Rocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just call them the MILFs. Yeah. We really need to change the name of the show. but the MILFs made cookies for us, and I ate the cookies.
They made panty cookies.
They were good panty
cookies.
Good
That's the only time I've ever broken that rule. I've never, I'm confessing right now, if you've ever brought me food and I didn't personally know you, I threw it away.
I like that you had llama penis in your mouth at one point, but you wouldn't accept food from anyone else. That was probably
normal.
For the
record, Spinari had llama penis in his mouth.
That was me. That was not my dad.
That wasn't me.
Really?
However, that was me. Knuckles. No, don't give me the knuckles.
Knuckles.
No, I'm not giving you the
knuckles. That's why I always force
there too.
You and Spinari and Chad
right here. Yeah.
Wait, did you?
Dude.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We have like a bond now.
Duck balls, llama penis.
Yeah.
I did eat the ghost pepper stuff. I did.
Yeah, I did do that too.
Yeah. But other than that, I just refused to do it. But I did see a lot of celebrities throw this stuff away, no matter how cool it was. I saw, we had a guy come in who made a ring for a celebrity, really spent a lot of time on it, and they were like, yeah man, thanks, that's really cool of you. And they sat it down, did the interview, and as they were leaving, like, the manager went, hey, do you want that? And he goes, no, just leave it. And it was
which
to me, that's a, you know, take it with you.
Well, this, the person that gave the gift, and this was kind of where I was, is like, hey, even if they accept, that's cool, and it's out of my sight, so it's almost like they kept it. So even if that guy left the ring, you know, it's still, to this person who gave it, it was a nice gesture and worth it.
And they have the bragging rights to say they gave so-and-so a ring, you know. But Kate Beckinsale, I mean, she was in the notorious JFC hot babe trifecta for a long time. But she just kept pumping out kids. She was just pregnant all the time, so I had to give her the...
She has a 17-year-old, and she looks better than ever.
She's got good genes.
Oh, she does look great in those jeans.
Yeah.
I agree.
Did you, when you talked to her, we had her on the show, we had her in studio once, and we actually asked her, we said, how much, she goes, I'm just really blessed with good jeans. It's not something I have to worry about too much.
Jeez.
Is what she said. She goes, I can kind of eat anything I want.
Don't you hate
I
just, the beautiful people?
Oh, beautiful people. If you don't know what's going on, we should probably fill you in.
Actually. Oh, yeah.
So Kenny, Kate Beckinsale is your number one.
Number one most beautiful, just funniest, wittiest woman in the world. All around great woman.
You gave her a t-shirt.
Yes.
At a fan convention.
Indeed.
And we thought she was going to throw it away. And you sent us all a text this last Saturday. Go to Twitter right now.
Yeah.
And I'll be very honest with you. I thought it was because someone, hopefully a former coworker or two, had died. So I went going, oh, yes.
Someone has died.
Oh, I can't wait to see what's happened. And I get there, and this was even more cool than that.
Yeah.
And it's Kate Beckinsale on her Twitter account wearing mm-hmm. Kenny's t-shirt saying thank you. This is months later.
Yes.
Yeah.
There she is, Beckinsale, right across the boobies yeah. on Twitter.
And on Instagram and Facebook. Everywhere.
All of her accounts, she did it everywhere.
That shirt's in her rotation, man.
Her nipples have probably touched that shirt.
Oh, stop it. Have some respect.
Yeah. I dare say.
I think you're right.
Yeah, right?
You've touched her boobies. I think you could almost say that, Kenny.
Yeah.
In proxy, yes.
By proxy, it has taken place.
It's just really, really cool that, like, not only is she cool enough to be like, hey, I was given this t-shirt, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
But like to keep it for 3 months and then be like, hashtag Salt Lake City, clever fans, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Like, love you back.
She could have said this was the best podcast next to Radio Ronan in the history of podcasts.
Right.
But she didn't. She just said, hey, thanks, fans.
What the problem is that everyone that follows her is kind of a perv, including, you know.
Including you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everyone's like, bacon on your chest.
Well, that's what they were doing on the comments.
Right. And I'm like, come on, guys. It's a great podcast. You should go check it out. We're talking about Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
Like, no one really got it, but there were a lot of people wanting the shirt. So I'm like, done.
What kind of feedback did you get from people on this? Because I posted it on my Facebook page, and it's been viewed close to 10,000 times.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Did you get a lot of feedback from fans and listeners and new people?
We basically put it anywhere where you can be found on social media.
Sure.
And not only personally, but, you know, on Podbash, on Beckinsale, on everything. Mm-hmm. People have been like... It's almost like people are sharing with the joy, because I think a lot of people I think this is what is great about our audience, is that you guys have been there, and I mean you guys, people listening in your cars right now,
mm-hmm.
you've been there with us uphill the entire time.
Very much so.
Yeah.
You know, from right end of 2013, beginning of 2014, you were there with us all the way, you've known the bad times. Maybe mm-hmm. right now, in the good times, and times when we can just laugh it all away. Mm-hmm. And so people are very supportive of what they have helped kind of bring up.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been feeling, honestly.
Yeah.
Is everyone being like, you guys deserve this.
Totally.
Enjoy yeah. your moment.
Yeah.
And everyone being like, your life is now made. And I'm like, kind of. I mean, this is so superficial. So incredibly superficial.
Yeah.
But it just kind of gives you like, hey, good things can happen. And even when they're incredibly funny and random like this.
Well, like, it was very cool. And I'm, like I said, I'm really jaded. Normally, this kind of stuff, when a celebrity likes something that I post on the internet, that happened today. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest DJs in the world went through and liked something that I did. A guy named Wolfgang Gartner, who we have been fans of since, yeah. huge fans of since day one. He awesome. Liked a post yeah. that I did, and I about pooped myself.
That's
I was
great.
So excited, but it was gone 10 minutes later. I was like, whatever, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's fun. And it was gone.
Yeah.
But this, I've been so happy for you for days.
We all have.
It's changed true. My whole mood, because I knew what this meant to you to have her do that.
No, it's like whenever I kind of get down about something, I go, huh, or I'll call Joel or something. I'll be like, hey, a movie star that we really like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a movie star wore a shirt and showed people our shirt. Mm-hmm. Like, they put our brand, she put our brand out there. And it was just so cool.
Yeah.
So, yes, Kate, I do love you. And we're getting you on our show.
Well, you know, what a classy broad. Seriously.
Yeah.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, yeah. What a classy lady that she would do that. And I think anyone who aspires to be in the public eye can take a real serious cue from what a simple thing that was for her to do and what it meant. Not only for you, but for the people that invest in Podbash and invest in the show and invest in you as a person. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really cool.
It's kind of funny because, you know, the show is called Bacon Cell, but we rarely, if ever, talk about Kate Beckinsale, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you don't listen to the show, you know, we just talk about pop culture stuff. But since we kind of started that ridiculous GoFundMe account, which, by the way, I've been sheepish about the entire time,
mm-hmm.
like having that work. And then go one step further. We're taking this as far as we can possibly go.
Oh, no.
Like, we're setting new goals with the show.
Oh, no.
Wait.
And so, no, we're going to get her on the show. Absolutely.
Jess, you've got to put a stop to this.
We may even
I can punch him in the gonads. Do you think that'll work?
You should at least try.
I'm going to tell this to the other guys.
Also, you call me Jess.
But we're taking
Takara, sorry.
We're taking a road trip to England. I think we have to at this point.
A road trip? Wait.
A boat trip.
Remember that time when you were just talking about stalkers like 5 minutes ago?
No, she'll agree. It's only if she agrees to be on the show.
You're going to show up and you're going to go, Kate, it's me, Bacon Sale.
She'll say,
let's go to Red Lobster.
Me, Bacon Sale.
And she'll say, it's my posse. She calls us her posse.
Remember your posse?
It's three guys in their 30s.
Let's go to a pub and have some bangers and mash.
Yes, please.
I'm going to put a banger in my mouth.
What? What does that mean?
It's a sausage.
I know. Whoa, take it easy.
So anyway.
No, it's, I mean, we've trivialized it, but I mean, it is so cool. And like, yeah, I can just think about that or just look at the picture again and just be immediately happy. And I'm not talking about for the reasons that you think. Because, man, it's a great picture, but it is, what a cool thing to do.
I may have noticed something, because she's been nude before, and I didn't even recognize the old place.
Oh, my gosh.
Take it easy.
I think there may have been some augmentation done, and I may have gone to Google to compare. I'm just saying.
You're breaking Kenny. Stop.
How dare you, sir?
Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Fake is way better, dude. Way better.
Yeah.
Kudos to Kate. That's great.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm sure everyone that's listening right now, hopefully, has seen this because we shared it on your page on Podbash everywhere.
It's been everywhere, yeah.
Thank you for the support. You know, honestly, we just need to meet Kevin Bacon to get Kevin Bacon and Kate Beckinsale together. Side by side, wearing the shirts.
I got a history with Kevin Bacon. I don't know if you knew that.
A bad history? What do you mean?
No, I've actually got a really good history with Kevin Bacon, but it's been a bizarre history that I've had with this guy.
I'm listening.
I watched the inauguration of Barack Obama with Kevin Bacon.
What?
You didn't know this?
No.
So I met Kevin Bacon at Sundance years ago, and we were standing in line for some party. And he was there with his cousin, nay, his wife, Kira Sedgwick. And they were there talking, and we kind of hit it off. And I said, hey, look, anytime you're back in town, you want to come on the show, if you're doing the Bacon Brothers music thing or whatever, come in and hang out. And he kind of was like, yeah, man, yeah, that's great. You know, and I could tell it was just kind of lip service, or he wasn't really paying attention. And I just kind of let it go. Well, he lost a lot of money through Bernie Madoff. He lost everything, actually. Him and Kira Sedgwick, they went totally broke because of Bernie Madoff. And so he went back out on the road in between projects with his brother. And I could tell that he was actually fairly open about it. He's like, look, man, I got to start bringing in revenue thanks to this guy, this shyster that stole all our money. So he was coming back out on the road and get this email. And it's like, hey, man, I want to come in and... can I come in and hang out and do some Bacon Brothers stuff? I said, sure, come on in. Absolutely. So we rearranged the whole show. He comes in, and it happens to be on the same day that Barack Obama is going through this inauguration, the first black president of the United States. Remember, this is you got to go way back, and all the hope that everybody had that this guy was actually going to be a good president.
Oh,
you, remember
yeah.
you remember that?
I remember that day.
Yeah. So Kevin Bacon comes in, and at the radio station, they were like, well, you know, we're having a big, we're bringing in a bunch of food, and anybody that wants to come into the conference room, we've got a bunch of TV set up, and everybody can come in and check it out. Well, this is Utah. Everybody's Republican, right? So nobody cared. So Kevin Bacon's like, hey, man, you know, I really want to go check that out. Can we go check it out? I said, sure, yeah, I'll go. You know, I was kind of inside going, no, I don't want to watch this. But I was like, sure, you know, let's go. So we go in there, and it's this awkward thing. It's me and Kevin Bacon sitting in the conference room. Even his brother didn't want to stick around. He's like, no, I'm going back to the hotel. He's like, no, man, I don't want to stay and watch this. So he's over there. And he's grabbing like a bunch of rolls and throwing them in his knapsack and just doing a bunch. I'm serious. Like he was just grabbing a bunch of food and saving it for later. I don't know. But we're sitting there both kind of quietly watching this, and Aretha Franklin is singing, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, please rise. And Kevin Bacon stands up in the conference room, and
wow,
you know, he was like, I was like, what the hell is he doing?
He was just readjusting, you know, so he could fit more rolls in his pockets.
I'm looking at all. It's so weird. So I sat there awkwardly. He wanted to watch the whole thing, so I sat there awkwardly with Kevin Bacon.
So you have to be like, what a day. What a historic day.
Wow,
right?
And I'm just pretending that I care that this guy's being inaugurated. And he sat there like the entire, through the whole parade.
Ugh.
Didn't that go on for like six
it was
hours?
Like 4 hours.
Yeah.
It was a long time, man. So I'm eating like celery sticks and carrot sticks with Kevin Bacon, and I'm like, you're just going to take all those rolls home, aren't you? Just gonna take it. I won't say a word, man. If you want, we can go to Golden Corral. I'll let you really load
up. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it was fun. But I can say I watched the inauguration with Kevin Bacon.
That's so weird.
So if you want to get Kevin Bacon on your show, we could probably arrange that. But I think you're going to have some sort of deli tray.
Oh, yeah.
And rolls.
We'll have a craft table just for him.
Like a crafty. Yeah, you have to call a crafty table.
As long as he's not eating like carrots on the show or something. Like, you know, we'll be okay.
I don't know. We had donuts there.
Okay.
And I said, I was feeling fairly comfortable with the man at this point. So I was like, hey, Kev.
Oh, no.
No.
Kev, you want a donut? And he's like, hey, man, that stuff is poison.
What?
No, I don't want a donut. That stuff is poison.
We have some good donut shops here in Utah.
He was very thin. And I was like, sweet, more for me. So I just sat there just killing those donuts while he's...
He's like, hey, tell me about this Lion House and the rolls, because these rolls are awesome.
Hiding rolls in his backpack. So, yeah. Weird. It was a weird day.
That's weird.
Every once in a while, somebody does something like that, and it's like, hey, man, can I have an aspirin? Oh, yeah, I've got some aspirin in my backpack or whatever, and and they take the whole bottle.
Yes, yeah.
You know, wait, that's like $17. You just... Okay, you just take the whole thing.
Right, I'm not going to ask for that back.
I'm not going to ask for that back, which I have had that happen too.
Yeah.
But that was a weird day with Kevin Bacon.
I love it.
Just get Kate Beckinsale, that's good.
I want them both. Fine. I want them both.
All right.
It's such a big part. Anyways, super random, but hey.
Yeah, well, it was cool.
Yeah.
It was a cool day for you. It's been a cool day for me ever since. That was fun to see.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And Kate Beckinsale, real classy that she did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So fun.
And go follow her in every way, because she is very, very funny on social media. She is completely self-effacing.
And those boobs, though.
Yes, Spinari, yes.
It's just,
they're there.
Yep.
Kate, if you're listening, and I know you're listening, he's 20, so forgive him.
So forgive him.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but you do have a daughter, so maybe, you know, they could do a meetup.
I will say, I like how Takara is over here rolling her eyes when we talk about her boobs. However, I do remember Takara standing up Saturday night and declaring, I have really nice boobs.
What? She did do that.
Really uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
Was this before or after the cuddles, Kenny? Because I don't remember.
It was actually after.
Oh. Yeah. That's great.
What do you mean cuddles? You weren't trying to sell anything.
When you took advantage of my friend over here?
I don't want to get too into this, but
look,
just full on felt my job.
It was kind of your fault.
I think you're lying,
because it was all the way my fault.
We were all hanging out.
It was kind of an attack of opportunity.
Greg was there. Drunk Greg was there.
Drunk Greg, yeah, Drunk Greg.
Thank goodness, my spirit
animal. Who
was
our spirit animal, right?
And you, we were all laying there kind of like side by side.
Yeah.
And you laid down on us.
I thought it was kind of weird because I walked into my living room and you guys were, Jess was, or Takara was watching some sort of weird musical and I couldn't understand it, singing at the top of her lungs. Yeah. And I was like, this is weird. They're all sitting a little bit too close together. So I said, I'm going to walk up and I'm going to lay down across the top of all of them.
Yeah.
Strategically, Takara happened to be in that region.
Yes.
I don't know why you put that region in my...
It wasn't intentional. It just happened that way.
Okay.
But as I was laying there, you guys were like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And then I felt some shifting of a hand. And as I was laying there, it was very deliberate because there was a shifting of a hand. There was movement.
I don't remember this.
And then there was a grab.
I don't.
Do you think she was trying to push you off?
It was a gentle cup. No. Well,
did you instantly know it was Jess, or did you think it was like Kenny? Maybe,
well,
or?
No, because I saw. I went, oh. Because I was laughing. I was laying on you guys, and I'm like, ooh.
This didn't happen.
And I was like, was that Greg or was that Ken? Oh, that's a little hand.
Yeah, I might have soft hands, but I mean, they're big.
Yeah, same with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, made my junk feel pretty big because of a little hand.
You know, Takara, we might be related.
Is that when we basically pushed you off or you fell off because you were being violated at that moment?
I decided I probably shouldn't spend much more time in that, you know, because I...
Right, just we'll let the silence.
Yeah, I was like, it's time
to sentences.
I need to move. So I stood up, and she kind of fell onto the floor at the same time. And she's kind of sitting. She's at that level. I'm standing. She's sitting. She's at that level. And I went, somebody, grab my junk. And she screams at the top of her lungs, "That was me." Holds up her hand and then moves her hand towards it again.
Oh no.
And I was thinking, no. Oh, she's going back for seconds.
No.
But it was just a high five. I gave her a quick high five.
Oh, phew. You were able to save it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I gave her a quick high five. I got the hell out of there.
Damn it.
I don't know what happened there, but
yeah. I don't know what happened either.
You know, she gets so gleeful from singing, watching, and reciting every word of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
It's such a good movie.
That she just gets to her head. I don't know.
There was all of her synapses were firing. She was just on life.
She gets the shifty cup.
Yeah.
Doesn't really remember anything.
Right.
Yeah. And then it was kaboom. And it's awesome that I'm on a list now of Jess's. I've got to be somewhere because that's like
what? I don't think.
You know, I'll be very honest. I think it was honestly an accident.
I think it was an accident.
I think she may have been.
You said there's some shifting.
There was definite shifting.
Yeah. I think I was maybe trying to move away.
They call that the Holden Hold'em. I think.
But I really was laying on all you guys, and it took me a minute. I'm like. Who's grabbing my crotch? Somebody's... No.
Right, I have long arms, but no.
Some no. And it was like, I was in disbelief from it. I was like, no, that's not... That's got to be like a knee or something. And then Spinari goes, you're kneeing my nuts. You're kneeing my nuts. And I'm like, what? Oh, no. No, someone is grabbing my nuts. Like, full on.
Oh.
Can you do your firework? That's your new Chewbacca, by the way.
And I honestly thought it was. I thought it was Kenny. I honestly thought it was Kenny until
it probably was.
Until I rolled off and went, that wasn't Kenny.
Right.
Kenny was up by my face.
I was guarding myself the entire night so I wouldn't be attacked or have my heart ripped out. But you know,
it was fun.
You still got your heart ripped out.
I did.
Drunk Greg.
Greg.
Anyway, I had a lot of fun.
It was so much fun. Yeah. Sorry we didn't do Bash Music, everyone. I mean, like.
Yeah, we had some other stuff happening earlier in the night. We decided to get together later in the night and hang out for a little bit. But Bash Music will be back. We'll get that back. it's fun. It's fun to do on a Saturday night. I remember back on Saturday nights before I did the cold case and stuff. there wasn't, you had some really good shows on TV shows on Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. You remember, you guys, Jess, or Takar, excuse me, and Spinari wouldn't remember this. You might.
Yeah.
Well, Saturday nights was kind of tough back in the day because they used to have the, like, Empty Nest and Golden Girls and all that sort of stuff.
You got to go back before that. Okay. Saturday nights, once upon a time, Saturday night was a good night for TV. In fact, some of the highest rated shows on TV were happening on Saturday night, that being The Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
Oh, yeah.
And I lived for it. I absolutely loved it. And that was in the 70s. And then in the 80s, you had a lot of really great shows.
Mm-hmm.
You had Friday night videos. You had a lot of fun stuff. But you had a lot of great sitcoms. It was great. So I was thinking about this because we didn't do Bash Music. And we got talking about, Takara and I were watching some old stuff on TV. Spinari, Takara, and I, one night when you weren't here.
Yeah.
And I got thinking to myself, there's no funny shows on TV anymore.
Funny shows like...
Bear with me for a second. Okay. There are no really, really good sitcoms on TV anymore. They're in reruns. You've got Friends and Seinfeld and Cheers and
all
that.
New Girl,
which is great.
One of my favorites.
You know, speaking of Jess doing what she did, I love Zooey Deschanel. Love her. We see her. She's on all the time when we're in the gym. I'm like, she is so hot. She looks like Katy Perry. But there is an uncanny, very disturbing resemblance between Zooey Deschanel and Takara.
Ew.
And so now I feel...
Ew, but like,
so
you know
now
what I mean.
When I'm watching, like, I've always...
Yes, Kenny?
I've always had this thing for Zooey Deschanel, but now I can't really look at her that way when I'm watching the...
Kenny, you're such an asshole.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant like, ooh, that's our sister.
That's what I meant.
Ooh. Not that anyone looking like you would be really gross.
If you don't know what
Takara looks like, she is almost a carbon copy of the New Girl. And it's so much so that it makes me a little uncomfortable now to look at Zooey Deschanel in that way.
Sorry.
But you still do.
Kenny, why did you...
Yeah.
What was that motion you just did? Like
I
don't know. You like stuck your butt towards me.
You did the pee-pee dance a little bit.
Like, it was weird. Stop.
I'm trying to reproduce it now, and I don't know what I was doing.
I don't know what you were doing either.
It's I have a name for it. It's called the Hide My Chub Dance.
My gosh. I said ooh, didn't I?
Yeah.
He did do the side-to-side.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
In front of us.
That's going on YouTube, though.
Yeah. We need to talk about this. We've told the story. Before I get into this TV thing, we've told the story for years about an incident that Kenny had at one of my shows.
It happens.
We think he may have been given some E or something or a Molly.
Do we want to talk about incidents right now? Because
no, absolutely not.
Okay. Careful where you're going.
But at that night... Kenny D did the side-to-side on our good friend Angela, where she had had a bit of a problem. She was face down on the floor of this. She got roofied, basically. And
Kenny took advantage.
Not realizing that she was no longer conscious, straddled her. Her ass was up in the air as she's face down on this dance club, and proceeded to smack both sides of her ass as he was dancing.
I'll deny this to my dying breath.
And he denied it to his dying breath. Well, we are about to post something on YouTube.
Yes.
We have started recording our Bash Music performances, and Kenny decided to jump in during Takara's
set. I was dared to jump in. I wouldn't just do it.
No, we all jumped in.
Everyone jumped in.
Right.
Yeah.
And without him really even thinking, did the side-to-side. And then once I started screaming that he was doing the side-to-side, he realized what he was doing and ran away.
He did the side-to-side on Takara.
The creepiest thing was that everyone left and Kenny like stepped behind me and like licked his hand. And then began doing the side. Why would you lick your hand, Kenny?
I don't know.
And then you
so
see
weird.
Like hands pointing in like out of screen
because
at Kenny.
Because it lubricates the friction.
What?
And then you kind of just looked down at your shoes and then ran away.
Well, because I was just sitting there dancing, trying to freak her out. That was the intent. It was just trying to freak her out and make it weird, which I think I did a pretty good job. And then you, Chungi, you start yelling. And there was very loud music playing. You're like, oh!
Side to side.
And I was like, what do I do?
And then he ran away.
Yeah.
So now we're going to be posting this, right?
Yes.
It's not posted yet, but we're going to be posting this on our YouTube channel.
Yes, we will.
If you ever want to have some great electronic music playing in the background, we're going to be posting the entire 4 hours. The whole thing. You can just keep it on in the background, or you can just have it on your TV, and it's and you can actually, if you have any interest in what we're actually doing while we're performing, you can see the gear. We actually have a camera on the gear so you can see what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's going to be kind of cool. We're going to post that on the YouTube channel, and then you can wait for Kenny. He pops in at one point and does do the side-to-side, even though he denies it.
It happened.
Hey, so. Look.
It's on video.
I did the simple... That simple dance that many people do, it doesn't mean that I've done it multiple times.
But before that, you did do like a little grinding up on Takara.
It was all the way.
No, I was at least Bible length apart. You felt nothing.
You were like,
I shouldn't say that way.
So should you back that thing up or should you get up on it? You were like,
no,
you were
it was awkward white guy dancing until it became creepy white guy dancing.
And your face that you were like staring straight into the camera.
No, it's biting the bottom lip.
Yeah, it was
white man overbite.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I didn't know. I thought you looked good, dude.
Yeah, and then so you started screaming at me. Oh,
well, I just wanted the proof because you did it. Okay, so anyway, so back to this. So I was thinking about, we were talking about all this. I'm talking about TV. There's no good. Am I missing something? I think I'm missing something. Work with me here for a minute.
Yeah, I'm trying.
There's no good current run TV comedy. Where is it?
Oh, wow.
Think for a minute.
Okay. Hold on.
Help me with this because there were a lot of shows. The last really good TV sitcoms that I can remember were Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Back in 2003.
And The Office.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's happened? I mean, some people like Parks and Rec and some people, but Parks and Rec was under constant threat of cancellation and is now canceled.
Well, the weird thing is, and I think we really have to talk about NBC in this way. Remember Must See TV on Thursday nights?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You started off with Friends.
Seinfeld. Yes.
Seinfeld was at 8 o'clock. Frasier was that same night until they moved it to another really strong comedy night. Mm-hmm. And then they usually showed their comedy pilots somewhere in between Friends and Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it was an incredibly strong night. Man, it was a great time for sitcoms.
But before you had Friends, you had Cheers and Seinfeld. Yeah. So it was a juggernaut night where you had this destination viewing. You didn't want to miss. You know, there's still that going on with other shows like Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead and stuff that's probably bigger budget and a little bit more serious. Well, a lot more serious. But I'm dying for a good laugh your ass off comedy that you just can't help but.
I mean, even in the later seasons of The Office when it was doing decent, and honestly, The Office never got probably a third of the ratings that Friends ever did.
Yeah,
and it was their most profitable sitcom and highest rated because NBC wasn't what it used to be, and so Community, they would play two Community episodes a night.
Ooh, yeah, I like Community.
30 Rock, they would rush it through, and Parks and Rec, they would rush it through because they were like, let's just get these done with and maybe cancel them next year.
But if you look at Parks and Rec, 30 Rock, and Community, those were not, while Takara liked them and a lot of people did like them, those were not blockbuster.
Oh,
huge,
none
like,
of them.
Like Arrested Development or
Community
Seinfeld
should have
or,
been, but it wasn't.
Taking a mirror in the morning.
So, exactly. Yeah.
So, where are they? What happened? Am I missing something? Can people help me out? Because I'm
Jess
not really.
Jess really likes New Girl. I think it's middling. You know,
is it still on?
It's still on, I think, sixth season coming up. I bet it's sixth.
Oh, so
last.
That's still
something
current.
Like that.
Okay. There is Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Andy Samberg.
I think that show is terrible. I've watched it. I think it's awful.
And it's not. It's just kind of a different sort of sitcom. I'm not saying we should ever go back to laugh track or live studio audience. I say that with quote marks.
No, I want something really. Arrested Development didn't have that.
I tell you what, though, if you just go to CBS and you watch, oh man, Monday nights on CBS are so good. Two Broke Girls, Big Bang Theory. They're so funny.
It's really insulting.
I know. And here I am being very sarcastic.
Yeah, I know you are.
They are like bottom of the barrel comedy.
I feel like I'm in a really bad truck stop buffet every time. No, scratch that, because I love truck stop buffets. I just feel like I'm in like a third grade class watching third graders try to write comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds really pissy and really arrogant, but it seems like dumb guy humor. Like King of Queens or Home Improvement or really bottom of the barrel Kevin James type comedy. I can't remember anything post Arrested Development or Seinfeld or The Office that's been smart comedy that's been really good.
Can I ask you if you were a fan of Friends? Because I would say Friends when it ended 2004, was probably the last. I mean, I would put The Office somewhere in there. Oh, Scrubs. Okay.
Scrubs is so good.
Scrubs is so good. But,
it's been gone for a long time.
The last
time.
Like couple seasons wasn't
Five
great.
Seasons of Scrubs was great.
Yeah.
But Friends was like this, I think, this pinnacle. It was like a benchmark.
It was so good. It was. I don't know how many people know this. Friends was so good and is so solid and is still so beloved on Netflix and in syndication that each one of those cast members is still making $20 million a year.
Yeah, they don't need to work again.
Their grandkids will never be able to spend that money. $20 million a year. In fact, I think Takara and I were hanging out somewhere. I can't remember where we were, but you were showing me. You said, can you believe how shitty these guys look? Remember this?
Yeah. Like Matthew Perry looks.
Matthew Perry and
Were we on the road somewhere? I can't remember where we were.
Joey looks okay. He just
Matt LeBlanc Matthew Perry. And she goes, can you believe how shitty they look? I said, that's because they're each making $20 million a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can. They don't ever have to work again.
Yeah.
But I can't. I honestly, Curb Your Enthusiasm, I thought was genius.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of shows that were real solid, and now there's no more TV comedy. Unless somebody can steer me in the right direction. Yeah, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't even think that's on anymore. Or if it is, it's on.
No,
its
it
own.
Is. It's like 14th season now.
And it's not funny anymore.
Many people still like South Park. In fact, South Park wasn't funny for about a decade, but last year they were actually really funny. Like, they were on it. But it's still like season 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so there's nothing new.
There's nothing new.
There's no new comedy. Do we blame Tina Fey for this? Did Tina Fey kill everything?
Hmm.
Yes. Can we blame Tina Fey for everything?
Tina Fey. I'm a total Tina Fey hater, all the way. All four of us are, actually.
Yeah.
I kind of blame the audience, though, because 21 million people a week are watching Big Bang Theory. Like, I don't understand that at all.
It's the nerd audience.
Well, I look at...
It's
just pandering.
It's not even like a nerd show.
I would think if we had higher quality comedy on TV, we would not have the new Ghostbusters.
Okay, I'm listening.
The bar would be set... the bar is set so low with this horrible Tina Fey... 30 Rock, whatever the hell
smug
it is.
Smug humor.
The smug, I'm smarter than you humor.
Yes.
I just can't, you wouldn't have this, all those bad Saturday Night Live females on Ghostbusters if you had smarter comedy on TV. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, in fact, I kind of wish there were just more comedies to choose from because
I miss them.
They're such good comfort food.
Yeah.
And I understand going back to even the CBS shows I hate, those are comfort food for those people. Two and a Half Men was comfortable for people that like perverted, dumb comedy. Still, it was comfort. Yeah. And that's what I think a show like Friends was. And I just don't know why there's not anything like that now.
It's really too bad.
But do you think it's because we treat TV like we do, like we used to movies? And so we need a Breaking Bad to be like, give us twisted characters. We want to see just something really unhappy and dramatic. And that's what we kind of expect from TV now? Or like Walking Dead, someone better die. Like, that's the opposite of a comedy. Someone didn't die in that season finale. I'm so mad. What?
Well, there's this new show on AMC called The Preacher.
Yeah, Preacher, yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's called Preacher.
Yeah.
So good. Really, really good. I don't know if you guys have watched it, but it's... I think there are only two episodes in. I've been really, really into this.
Okay.
Cool show. Done by Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Which I was really surprised about.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a comedy.
Whoa.
Preacher is not, it's about as far from comedy as you can.
Much like The Walking Dead is based off a graphic novel. Yeah. Seth Rogen's a big fan and he's like, how can we adapt this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he's doing a great job with it, but it's not comedy. Again, all the cool new shows, Billions, Preacher, you can even say Walking Dead, even though it's in season 6 or going into season 7. There's just nothing good. There's no good comedy unless someone can help me like find something.
I'm trying. I can't. You know what show I really like and makes me laugh? The Bachelorette.
Aw, but it's The Bachelor this season.
It's bad old Bachelorette. It's really funny. There's a guy named Chad, and he's crazy. But we'll get into that with the other,
stop
hey, Bachelor Nation, if you're out there,
stop it. No, just stop this.
Guys, we're watching the next season, right?
I'll watch the next season
with
I don't want to watch all the girls.
Yeah, you do.
No,
yeah.
I don't.
You don't want to watch a bunch of hey bro douchebags in their big sausage fest.
But they have abs.
Abs.
Yes.
I think that's even worse than, you know what's worse than being a girl on The Bachelor? Being a dude on The Bachelorette. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
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 You're really doing this on TV? Dude, I would never let you in my car.
And then a lot of them have like rib tattoos that look really, really shitty.
I would never. You and your rib tattoos can't go to the game with me. We're not going to the King Buffet. We're not going out to. I don't want you anywhere around me if you've been a dude on The Bachelor.
It's cool. I don't even want to go. Sweet.
Get out of here, bro.
Sweet, bro.
Take you and your affliction shirt and go somewhere else.
It's cool.
But I would really, if somebody can help us out, find it's a good comedy.
Well, then what are you watching? I mean, cable shows, it sounds like.
Well, to be really, really honest with you, anything that I'm watching on TV is probably drama. Preacher, okay. Walking Dead, Billions.
Game of Thrones.
And then when we want comedy, Takara Spinari and I are watching MXC on YouTube.
Yes.
Yep.
Or I'm watching old Curb Your Enthusiasms or the Gary Shandling Show, or I'm watching Cheers, which for me is comfort food, but that was a really smart show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's real dated, doesn't hold up well, but I remember back in the day when it was, so for me, it's okay.
Yeah.
Or I'm watching it's old Abbott and Costello or something like that. I'm not, or Arrested Development, so I'm not watching anything new at all.
Mm-hmm.
The Idiot Abroad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that's kind of like a reality show. And I just really kind of found myself hating everybody, including Ricky Gervais, after like three episodes, and I couldn't get into it.
You know why?
Everybody
I hate
else
that
is
show?
Like, oh, never snapping mind. Their
I
fingers.
I can't talk about that.
No, you can talk about that.
I don't know if I can talk about that.
Why? Wait, is what? It racist?
You know. You know why I hate that show?
Mm.
Is because when I had a roommate, I would wake up to that show playing really loud in my house, and it pissed me off every morning.
Okay. I would hate that show, too.
I wanted to punch someone in the face.
Who's the roommate? Can you tell me their name? Who was it? Do they listen?
Kenny.
Will they know?
No. You know what? You know the one roommate I had.
There was... I had a roommate when I lived in Hawaii, and he was a big, huge Samoan.
Yeah.
And he, for whatever reason, he was very Mormon and loved the Carpenters. But he was like 7'9" and about 700 pounds. So every day I would come home from work and he would be sitting in there, "We've only just begun."
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah. And he'd be dancing in his towel with his Adidas shower shoes and singing the Carpenters. And it really made me hate the Carpenters. And my dear Aunt Zenda loved the Carpenters.
Zenda?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's a badass.
Yeah,
but,
she is.
She's one of the coolest people I'll ever know in my lifetime. But she loved the Carpenters. And so every time I heard it, it reminded me of my really kick-ass Aunt Zenda, right?
Yeah.
Until this guy ruined it.
Yeah.
Ruined the Carpenters for me. For about 6-7 years, I couldn't listen to him at all because I just wanted to kick his ass so bad, but knew that I couldn't. Even if I had a gun, I couldn't.
You know, you know what was my show when I was younger?
Hmm.
Gilligan's Island. Yeah, that's right.
Jess,
that's an
like,
awesome show.
Right?
Takara's like 60.
I'm not 60.
Right? Sherwood Schwartz. All those Sherwood Schwartz, the Brady Bunch.
Gilligan's Island. And you know what? I even named a cat Gilligan once.
One of your 37 cats.
One of my 37
what
cats.
What an honor.
One was named Skipper. The slutty one was Mary Jane.
I had a cat named
Marianne.
I named a cat Alf once.
Alf? Yeah. You named a cat?
Really?
Oh, I loved Alf.
Okay, that's
Alf ate cats.
That wasn't a good show, Kenny.
I know this. I'm not saying it was.
Married with Children.
I would just be so happy if somebody could tell me, hey, where can we find... You know, if somebody could say, Chunga, go watch this. It's smart. It's funny. Please don't say something dumb like Everybody Loves Raymond or The King of Queens or Two Broke Girls, because that's just not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a good, funny... Right, Friends would qualify. Seinfeld. But something on par with that, it just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I challenge you, brothers and sisters. Bring it to me. Show me where they're at, because I'm not finding them.
I would
them
like
anywhere.
To help you, but I can't think of one.
Yeah. No, we talked about this a little bit before we did the show. And I said, I'm not finding anything good. And you guys all went, oh, come on. That's... Oh.
Honestly, for comedy, I watch anime.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Kenny. That's right.
I go to YouTube. What? Or America's Got Talent, because that's pretty funny sometimes.
I'm totally addicted to America's
Got Talent.
Which
we're addicted to that as well.
That's about as close as I get to comedy. I really do like that show.
Speaking of shows that are like in their 14th season.
You know what? Every year, it's actually a really... I think there's not a lot of really high quality, really fun family stuff that everybody can watch. And that's definitely a show that you can do that with.
Yeah.
And it's a lot smarter than people think it is.
Simon Cowell's on the show this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is kind of weird.
I love Simon Cowell.
He's the creator of America's
Got
Talent.
Did he take over for Howard Stern?
He took over for Howard Stern.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think we've talked about this a little bit before. I've known Simon Cowell for a long time, going back to the early 2000s. And the first time I met him, we had a mutual friend that introduced me to him. And I was really kind of afraid to meet him. I was like,
Sure.
I don't know how this... It was at the first Mockstar. Some of you will remember this. The first Mockstar party. There was a guy there that I've known for a number of years, DJ. Paul Oakenfold is his name. And he was there at the party, and he was there for Sundance and brought Simon Cowell into the party with him. And I was like, why did you bring him?
To me, like when I see Simon Cowell, I think he'd be one of the coolest people ever.
He was one of the nicest celebrities I've ever met.
Like,
and
he'll be straight up honest with you, but he seems like a super nice, cool guy.
So cool. And so nice and so generous. Was buying drinks for everybody in the VIP and was just really one of the most sincere and approachable and nice. And I talked to him for a very long time.
Hmm.
About everything, about how much he loves DJs and about this and about that. And he was really a cool person, really a genuinely cool person. But the thing about him is that he's always played this kind of this bitter, mean, judgmental guy.
Mm-hmm.
And on America's Got Talent, this is his first season, and he's acting very much like himself.
I think that comes through a lot, because like on Britain's Got Talent and stuff, when he's on there, mm-hmm. I mean, on American Idol, he was always like the jerk, you know, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I guess because I've watched a lot of Britain's Got Talent, like,
okay, so,
that,
so
that
you,
really
you
comes
understand
through
very
that he's
much
a really
so.
Cool,
genuine guy.
And I had to say to Spinar, I'm like, no, that's the real Simon Cowell right there.
Mm. Doesn't Britain's Got Talent and America's Got Talent feel like way lesser versions of like what American Idol used to be?
No.
I think they're way better than American Idol.
I think they are
better.
Opinion.
And The Voice and all those
the
singing shows.
Right.
The X Factor and all those. This one is by far the best because it, I don't know. To me, it just seems a lot more sincere and a lot more genuine to me. I don't know why. I really am addicted to this. I got hooked on it years ago.
Well, and I like that it's not all singing. Like, it's like people can come on stage and you don't know what they're going to do. And it's just crazy sometimes.
And somebody who's a contortionist can be in a competition with someone who's a singer.
Right.
And somehow it kind of works. And the thing that I think is really cool about this, Howard Stern said this last season, the audience always, he goes, America always gets it right. He goes, every time I've been on the show, I can say in all honesty, with all the voting, he goes, I've never seen America get this wrong.
Hmm.
So you should check it out, actually. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched it like 8 years ago, and then I don't think I've watched it since then.
Way better than The Bachelor.
Way better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, it as dramatic?
I found myself watching Game of Thrones last Sunday and just thinking to myself, man, just let me up for some air. I just want to laugh for a little bit. And then we watched MXC for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch anything new. I can't find anything new. So hopefully somebody will tip me off to something good.
Good luck.
Don't say Portlandia. Don't say that show sucks. I mean something really good. Smart and really good.
Nope.
See, it's not,
I got
it's
nothing.
Not, it's
nothing.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
It is really, really weird.
What about no, that's old. See, I'm stuck.
What were you going to say?
I was...
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
What was that? No, that was
like,
Parks
I'm even
Rec.
Thinking of like
no,
Netflix and shows, and no, there's nothing.
They're crappy.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that spinoff, the Office spinoff that was Parks and Rec, and I didn't really like it all that well, and it's gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, well, I guess we can just move on. Somebody can hit us on our socials or hit us at Podbash on our Facebook or whatever. Help us out. Movies. Do we have some movies?
We have some movies.
We got movies to talk about.
Movies.
And I say we have movies because I brought a guest to one of the big movies.
Oh, you did? Sure did.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Tonight.
What? Oh, it did. Uh-huh. And you guys didn't even tell us.
Well,
I
you
feel
know,
so cheated on right now.
The thing is I've promised so many movie screenings to Takara.
That's true.
And never taken her, so I try not to talk about it as much as I possibly. Just so it's not like, hey guys, don't hold me to this, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So I took her to Warcraft.
Yay!
Tonight.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And?
So, Takara.
I know Takara loved it.
Well,
Takara, will you tell us what it's about?
It's basically about how the orcs came into the world of Azeroth and kind of their origin story.
So it's an origin story for like the beginning of World of Warcraft, which has been a video game franchise for, what, 12 years, 15 years?
Yeah.
A long time.
I think it's actually based on Warcraft 2. The video game, because it doesn't go as much into
which was
world
before
building.
World of Warcraft.
Right.
It's like
before
you know
Warcraft.
The simulation game Warcraft, where it's like build this, yes, my lord, you know that sort of thing.
Well, if you played Warlords of Draenor, you're going to recognize some things about it because Warlords of Draenor actually kind of went back in time to kind of the origin story, so they pulled a lot of stuff from that as well.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of those strategy construction games.
Yeah,
Command and Conquer. StarCraft, World of Warcraft, even
Age of
like
Empires.
Clash of Clans,
Age of Empires.
I love all those.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, I tried to get into, but just it was such a life sucker that I just couldn't get into it.
You know, actually,
it definitely takes all your time.
I like to think that I have some pretty geeky interests, but my blind spot is like PC gaming in general. Mm. Like whether it's simulation games, especially Warcraft or World of Warcraft or StarCraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I went into this one. I actually avoided trailers, too, because I saw one. I wasn't in love with the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of just avoided everything else.
The CGI didn't look very good. Can I just tell you, in the trailers, the CGI
looked
pretty
really bad. Sell it all that well.
I thought the CGI looked awesome in the movie.
So can you tell us again? So it's just the origin story. Is that what you're saying?
Basically.
Like, the story is basically orcs go through a portal to get to the human world.
Uh-huh.
Because there's some magic that is compelling them to... Basically, it killed their old world.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to come to a new one to feed off energy.
No. No. Well,
is that energy called red matter?
No.
No, it's green matter.
No.
Oh, nice.
Basically, their world was corrupted by this thing called the Fel. And so they're coming to a new world, and basically the Fel sucks life out of the world, and that's how they get more powerful and become stronger and stuff.
So it's like Independence Day?
I don't know. I hated that movie.
It's like Battle Los Angeles.
Yeah! Hey, that was a cool movie. You ever see Battle Los Angeles?
Nope.
I love that movie.
Oh!
It's not great.
Okay.
No, we're watching it.
That's a good movie.
Can I give my quick review?
You don't need to give a quick review. Please. You saw the movie just as much as I did.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm not bothered by the CGI because when I go to a movie that's based on a video game, I would like the orcs to look like orcs and not like their big bulky people in suits.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually fine with CGI.
It's the one time when you don't want the practical effects.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I want it to look like that fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought the CGI was pretty dang good and all the facial expressions and stuff on the orcs were awesome.
Yeah.
I was a little bothered by some of the human actors at the beginning of the show, but then I kind of just got lost in the movie and didn't care as
it went
on.
My one problem with this, the CGI, I having not seen it, I just saw the trailers. I went, well, maybe they'll clean it up for the movie. But then the guy who plays the king is the guy from Vikings, and he's this smirky, like I've seen one too many Brad Pitt movies kind of guys.
That is his role.
He's muggy.
In the movie.
He's kind of a muggy. He's always turning to the camera and kind of grinning. And
that's what he does, but he's one of the better parts of the movie because of it.
He's kind of awesome.
Because
he won me over. I wasn't a
Everyone is trying so hard to play it serious.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you have kind of a Han Solo type as your main character.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
It works.
He is the better character.
So the casting was good because he does that in the TV show Vikings. And I'm like, will you quit smirking already?
Yeah.
You're Vikings, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of his casting, but he totally won me over by the end.
Okay.
I was a huge fan.
So, all in all, you liked this movie.
I loved the movie.
You loved it?
I need a griffin. I need a griffin so bad. So much.
We're talking about the mythical character and not a dude, right?
My friend Griff is Griffin.
I want I want an eagle lion.
And a griffin has like the head of an airplane and the body of a cow.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yes.
But yes.
A sea cow.
Yes.
And
the feet of
And I thought the magic looked really cool. Like the magic was awesome and it was a lot of fun. This world that I love and spent so much time in, it like came to life. And when I saw Stormwind, I was like, "Oh, Stormwind!" And I was freaking out. But it's okay.
This is the real Takara.
Yeah. Okay. That's why this was the movie she needed to see.
Yeah. You really would have gotten a black mark in heaven had you not taken her. I think to this.
Yeah. Anyways, I loved it. There you go, Kenny.
And Kenny.
Now you can crap on the movie.
Hold on a sec. What was your grade, though?
B plus.
Wow. All
right.
Yeah, it seems a little low based on
some issues, obviously.
Well, I mean, the acting was, maybe A minus. Because the acting at the beginning, like, really bothered me. Like, the king, not like the main guy, but.
The king who actually plays Preacher is Dominic Cooper.
Yeah, Dominic Cooper, who's a lot of people don't know he's a Brit.
Really just low key.
Just kind of blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But, yeah,
He's awesome
in
The Preacher, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so this...
Okay, probably A-.
I'll ask you the same questions I'm going to ask
Kenny. I mean,
it's
nothing like Apocalypse. Like, Apocalypse is like a billion A-pluses.
1 billion A-pluses.
Yes.
That's Takara.
Like, an A-minus is like a billion times lesser than the A-plus she gave.
That's because it's not Apocalypse.
I want to see an A plus on a movie poster.
Is
A plus?
Can someone who is not a fan of Warcraft go and watch this? Or do you have to be a fan of Warcraft to truly appreciate it in the way that you did?
I would say, like, I think the story might be a little shaky in some parts for people that don't understand the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that they did a pretty decent job of somewhat explaining the storyline, because I'm going to be honest, I don't play a lot of the campaign. I just go through and kill things when I'm in the world.
And pick up seashells.
Kill the things and pick up seashells. And I'm like, where's all the rare creatures? Like, that was one of the things when they would show places. I'm like, I know where all the rare creatures are. I know where ones that you can tame. I'm like, oh, there's the lake beast in right there.
I know she's going to say that the first time we take her to Vegas.
I know where you can tame all the wild beasts. Yeah.
I know where all the rare creatures are.
It was just really cool to see this world that I spent so much time in, like, come to life on a movie
screen. So you think that they did it justice and it measured up and was what it should have been?
I enjoyed it, but I think maybe some people that are hardcore on the campaign, like, play a lot of the story in the campaign, may not like it as much.
Okay.
If they have issues with changes in story and stuff.
Okay. Now, there's that review from somebody who understands the franchise, is a fan of the franchise.
It's true.
And knows it inside and out. And Kenny, who doesn't?
I actually told Takara before the movie started, I said, I'm very excited for this movie because it's probably the first movie in a few years that I haven't known the background on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that there was a trailer that showed humans and orcs that were maybe uniting in some way. And then there was some green cloud up in the sky.
This movie was plagued with problems. When I was doing movies, they were working on this on a soundstage in Santa Clarita. I went to the soundstage, which oddly enough also housed the This Is It stage.
Cool.
But they were working on some 3D technology, and so I got to see some testing that was being done. And they eventually shelved this movie and then farmed it out to China and got Chinese backers, and it was eventually shipped overseas to China. So this was, I think, maybe the first Chinese-produced movie to come to the United States. But by all accounts, it sounds like they got it right. They changed the movie a lot from what I saw. That's good.
You cried?
You didn't notice?
No.
Okay.
Wait, so for real? What?
Yeah, I did.
I think this movie's been about 8-9 years in the making.
I think you're right. You cried?
Yes.
Aw.
Okay, so
feels.
This movie was only made for the fans of the game series. The whole first, I would say, 20 minutes, it's very loud. I mean, you have orcs yelling, and they're going, and their voices are all already really difficult.
And it wasn't
really
in 3D,
right?
Because
it was in 3D.
Oh, it was in 3D. Okay.
Yeah.
But it just sounds like this.
First of all, you must suffer.
You know, that sort of thing. It is. You don't really know what's going on. And even when the humans are talking, this is basically how they sound. I took the griffin to Azerbaijo, and we need to get Dato the wizard and Baka Tokatua. And they're basically saying every single weird word that they made up in the game series. And why was Gugurua unprotected? And you're like, what the crap are you talking about, dude? It feels like it starts in the beginning of the second act. There is no foundation for this movie at all. Like, it's just basically, oh crap, the orcs are coming. Now what?
So to answer the question I asked Jess, yes, you need to be a fan of Warcraft to truly
Absolutely.
Appreciate his movie.
Okay. 100%.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That said, I'm a big fan of the fantasy genre, mm-hmm. and when I see a movie like this, I go, okay, you know what? Take the critic hat off.
Well, you could do weird terminologies and weird verbiage and all that. Look at Star Wars. The original Star Wars, when Harrison Ford says, this stuff sounds like a bunch of mumbo-jumbo to mm-hmm. me, he took that line directly from Alec Guinness, who was throwing a fit on the set because he couldn't figure out the script.
Right.
And he was like, oh, this is a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And Harrison Ford happened to hear that and improv that line in the first Star Wars, which then made it, you know, all through. But you can do this in a way that it's understandable.
Well, and
you
also,
can use these terms
the,
that are
the
understandable.
Names are really weird.
One thing that Star Wars does is that you follow a very small cast of characters as they clearly explain, yeah, Tatooine, you may not know what that is, but we're going to talk about it a lot. Or this character whose name is really weird, you're going to meet them. In this movie, it's like, there's a kingdom over there that you'll never ever see, and we're going to mention the name mm-hmm. for the fans.
See, I struggle with Game of Thrones with the same thing. They're going to Westeros, or they're going to Highgarden.
Right, Storm's End.
They're going to
Highgarden.
To Bear Island.
King's Landing.
Yeah, I know King's Landing, but the rest of them, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've watched every single episode of Game of Thrones, and I still don't know where the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I get really confused with that.
So this movie starts so fast, and you're caught off guard, that you're like, oh, this is really, really off-putting. And like Takara said, the human actors in this movie are probably the worst part.
Yeah.
I do like Travis Fimmel in the role, but they have like a young magician who basically looks like me with a cloak on. And
you'd look good with a cloak.
Yeah. Well, thank you, but it's not great.
Is it like a cloak? Like
he grew on
like,
me, though.
He does grow on you because it starts to work. Let's, actually,
can we talk about the cloak for a minute, though?
Sure.
Is it a cloak like Assassin's Creed cloak, or is it a cloak like Mumford the Magnificent from Sesame Street cloak?
Yeah, the Mumford the Magnificent.
Like Mumford,
yes.
A la peanut butter sandwiches. Remember him?
I would term it Hobbit cloak.
No.
It had the clasp.
Hobbit
like
cloaks
the
were cool.
I almost ran a dude over in Baker, California. No, Barstow, who was wearing a cloak.
It was purple.
Purple.
The cloak.
I was in the back seat.
Invisibility.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was a pimp.
He was a pimp.
Oh.
And I almost hit him and he ran. I thought he was going to get mad at me, but no, he took off.
This guy kind of just looked like he would left art class and he put on a cloak. And they're like, hey, you want to come be in this movie? Sure.
Okay.
What do I have to do? Wave your hands in the air and we'll put blue stuff around him.
Oh, la peanut butter sandwiches.
So, it's okay. And oh, for the orcs, for the CG, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't care for the landscapes all that much, but the orcs themselves look very, very cool. Yeah. Obviously, very heavy CG, but they put a lot of money here. You can see it on the screen. And they were the best parts of the movie. Strangely okay. enough.
Frostwolves!
I don't know what that
it's
means, but
it's a clan.
They probably mentioned it 8 times in the movie.
This is the thing with me. I've played World of Warcraft a lot.
Yes.
And I saw the trailer
for
this movie.
I spent a small fortune on these games when he was a kid.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't even know what the hell's going on.
Okay.
And then she's naming
off
all these
You
things.
Don't know Durotan?
No.
Durotan is like one of my favorite characters of all
talking?
Time.
So I'm like, I'm probably not going to see this movie.
You silly paleomorph.
Right? Wait, what?
You
basically.
You don't know Daleotan.
Screw you, bitches.
So,
No, so, okay, here's the thing, though. I wish this were a better movie, because there are some really magical moments in the movie. Like, I'm watching it going, well done. Okay, you know, if I was 10, this would be so freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's who I recommend this movie for, is, yeah, it's a little violent, but it's all fantasy violence. Take your kids. It feels like almost like it would be a really successful 80s fantasy movie, with just a very high budget.
Because it's funny that you bring up 80s fantasy movie, because at the time that I was seeing the dailies,
mm-hmm.
when I was on the stage and they were testing the 3D technology and things like that, the dailies had Keanu Reeves in them. And he's not in this at all?
No.
No.
Mm. Okay. And they definitely made some casting changes to them.
I don't know if it's for the better or worse, but they went for almost no names in the cast. And I don't know if that was for budgetary stuff, but it, you know, it's not like Brad Pitt in Warcraft or even Keanu Reeves in Warcraft. It's just Warcraft. And there are very good voice actors behind the orc costumes, or, you know, doing the motion capture.
Which is nice.
Which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And they're the better parts of the movie. And like the Griffin stuff is really cool. Their fantasy elements that are new are great, but like it almost feels like they'll never be able to make a Lord of the Rings again. Mm-hmm. Like a movie that has so much heart, along with the physical or practical and CG effects intertwined. Because this movie is just
almost it's a cartoon
made
basically.
On a computer. It feels like a cartoon, like a cool Blizzard animated video. And this is made by Blizzard Entertainment and a few other production companies, but it's, oh man, it's for the fans of the game only. It really reminded me of, there were like 10 years ago, there was, I'm a big fan of Final Fantasy VII, and I heard they were making a movie, a CG movie called Advent Children.
You didn't like that?
And so I saw the movie, and I was so excited, because I'm like, finally, Cloud and like cool graphics and stuff, and he's going to fight everyone. But then when they actually like had dialogue with these characters, it was embarrassing to watch. I think I was watching it with like a girlfriend at the time or something like that. And I'm like, oh, this is horrendous. And then when there was action, the action was so cool. And then they'd start talking again. I'm like, please stop. Please stop. And it was a CG cartoon. This is what this kind of movie felt like. You grow to like the human characters a little bit, but you almost just want them to fight because when they're fighting, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's where it kind of stands.
What grade do you give it?
C.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's the difference.
Sorry, Takara.
Do you think the difference in grade is because she's a fan of the franchise and you don't know it as well?
Yeah, maybe. Because if I saw, like, you know, justice done to some of my favorite characters from a game, like, they were cool
like
characters
Metal Gear
here,
or some of
like
your
Like Metal Gear. But even then, I would realize, is this accessible for anyone else? As a film, does it stand on its own? And this does not. This feels like a second part in a three-part series.
That is, you are very clear about this. You've been very vocal about this, that a film has to stand on its own.
Oh,
that's
kind
of the cornerstone of every review that you do. If it's a sequel, can it stand on its own without the other films? If it comes from a video game or a TV show, can it stand on its own? And you say no on this.
No.
You know what I kind of wish had happened is that they'd spent more time on the warlords before they're actually coming into Azeroth. Like, Durotan has one of the coolest stories ever of how he became one of the warlords.
He was an orc, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the main orc.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah.
I liked him.
Yeah. He was the main orc. He has one of the coolest origin stories. I kind of almost wish that they had like brought about like the warlords and introduced them better before jump. Because to me, it did kind of feel like it came in the middle of it. And I was like, but Durotan, but where's his wolf? And like he wears the wolf cowl in like one scene.
Yeah.
And that's like a huge part of who he is. So
well,
that was
anytime
like.
Anytime you have a cowl in a movie, it's a win.
Especially when it's a wolf or
it's a cowl.
Don't you disrespect the frost wolves like that,
I'm
you
not,
bastard!
No, I'm not. I'm
He likes them.
It's a good thing.
Yikes. Menzies?
Maybe.
No!
Is it because I gave the movie a C?
Probably.
It's a cool rental. If you're having a sleepover with some friends and you you ask your mom if you want to stay up late and watch a movie, Warcraft is a pretty good movie to watch.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I watched a movie before we segue into the next film.
Hey, you actually hit me unlike Greg, who didn't hit me the other night with a water bottle.
Yeah, it's but another to be story. Fair, he was drunk.
I watched that Casey Affleck shipwreck movie. I tried to. The Finest Hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't rent that. It's terrible.
I didn't actually see that one.
Oh, it's awful.
I didn't finish it.
I will rarely not finish a movie because it's so bad. That was just all the way terrible. Bad acting, bad writing, bad everything.
Really bad CGI.
Okay.
Yeah.
Horrible. Don't waste your time with this.
No, interesting.
Wow. Chris Pine. It had a lot of really good actors, and they were all terrible in this movie. Yeah, don't waste your time. Finest Hours, don't get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go see another movie? You said you had two?
I did. So I went and saw The Conjuring 2 as well.
Ooh.
Without us?
Yeah.
You douche.
You were going to go with us.
He promised.
I will go with you if you want, still.
Did you take Joel?
No, I didn't take Joel, actually.
Who did you take with you?
I don't think I took anyone to this
one. You went by yourself?
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
He's totally lying.
If sometimes people ruin movies for me. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, hey, you know. And I actually hope
I can understand that, actually. I can, yeah.
And this is a movie that I was kind of invested in because I liked the first one so much.
And you have personal ties to the Warrens and to the parents from the first movie
right. And
so on. Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, this is that kind of movie. And it was so directed by James Wan again, who
every horror movie he does, he says, this is my last horror movie.
Yeah.
And then he goes right back. That's all he does is horror movies.
Yes. But he will be doing Aquaman coming up, which I'm really excited for.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is kind of, I would say, the most talented visual director we've had.
He's pretty steady.
Since... I mean, I can't make statements like that, but in a long time.
The first Conjuring was phenomenal.
He made Saw. He made, Conjuring, Insidious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, but...
And The Conjuring is one of the top two scariest movies I've ever seen.
Right, it ranks very highly now when we do our horror list.
Yeah, on Halloween, it's always... It's either number one or number two.
Yes.
And so far, it's either been number one or number two always, mm-hmm. since it came out.
So I was really worried about this one because horror sequels, like I like horror films, I just do, but horror sequels rarely ever really have that same magic. Because mm-hmm. like even like Insidious 2 was kind of scary, but it wasn't very good.
Did you like Insidious?
Yeah, I did.
I liked the first one a lot.
I liked the first one a lot too.
I liked 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Number 3 not so much.
3 was okay.
No, I didn't like 3.
Yeah.
1 and 2 were real solid.
And though. So I was worried about, you know, his track record with sequels. I was like, oh, he's just going to tell the same story again or dig deeper. And I wasn't really okay with that. But the thing is, the Warrens in The Conjuring are what set that movie apart. Because it mm-hmm. basically is a really well done haunted house movie.
Well, it's based on a true story. That's possibly where The Conjuring gets all its credibility. Is
right.
These stories all come from Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it comes out of their journals, basically, their true stories.
It's just so cool because the thing is, they're the wild cards here. Because, yeah, you have a family being tormented and the story kind of just goes as it will. But to have these two actual people or these characters portraying these real people,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just sets it apart. So Patrick Wilson, he plays Ed, mm-hmm. and Vera Farmiga plays Lorraine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, this movie starts out, I'll just tell
and
you
for
this.
For the record, neither Patrick Wilson, who is a great man, guy that I knew pretty well a couple of years ago, wonderful singer, by the way.
He sings in this movie.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Elvis, actually.
No, does he really?
Yeah, he does.
That's quite good. He's got one of the finest male singing voices I've ever heard, but he's not known for being a singer. And Vera Farmiga, they look nothing like Ed and Lorraine.
No, it's true.
Absolutely nothing like Ed and Lorraine.
But I'll tell you what, Vera Farmiga, especially, I've only seen like a documentary about Lorraine and heard stories from like you guys or Brendan, that sort
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the willingness that she has to play this part like to a T, she's even kind of weird and conservative about the role. And she does things that are very cheesy on screen. Mm-hmm. And you're like... Way to go. Like, you play the Warrens very, very well.
That is Lorraine.
Because they're not like these, like, we're ghost hunters and we're going to solve all your problems.
No.
They come in and she's like, I'm not really sensing anything, but I am a little worried about things. But I really love my husband, and so I'm willing to listen to him. Like, it is like a really interesting role, one that I haven't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great. I think she's really putting her heart into this role.
Cool.
As Lorraine Warren.
Well, she's a brilliant actor. She's
right.
good in everything that she's been in.
So,
I think she's great as Lorraine Warren.
I just want to say,
she looks nothing like her.
The beginning of this movie, they're at the Amityville house.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sweet.
And they're having a seance. And all I want to say...
Demon boy.
Demon boy is there.
You see the demon boy.
And I was like, oh.
You knew about the demon boy. We've shown everybody the demon boy at the ghost hunts and things like
that.
The fact that they're willing to just throw that in as an Easter egg, I was like, okay, I'm in.
You know what's funny is Spinari saw it, he goes, that's demon boy. And I went, no, it's not. I didn't buy it. I was like, no way.
Yeah, they show part of it in one of the trailers.
Okay, they do?
Yeah.
Well, you don't understand what it
but
is.
But it's real
Spinari,
quick.
Spinari, who's up on the subject and very, you know, Spinari's a damn good paranormal investigator in his own right. Knew exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Like, right from the get-go.
Because that's how the first movie, they set it up. They told the story of Annabelle. And they really set the scene to make it scary. And then even though they let Annabelle go for most of the time, you're like, okay, this is where we're going from here. And so this movie has Amityville. They're only there for about 5 minutes, and then it goes on to this the real story.
So
in
I'm
England.
Guessing that it starts, if Demon Boy is in it, because Demon Boy is years after... Amityville actually takes place, right? So it starts after Amityville's over.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But so...
You know, we got to stop. We have to go back. Demon Boy, for people who don't know.
Demon Boy. Demon Boy, no big deal. That's his name.
Everyone should know.
Well, we need to... If you go Google this right now, if you go Google Amityville Demon Boy, a picture will come up.
Yeah.
Bear with us here, because this picture is of after the Amityville house was cleared out. And the Warrens had set up some motion capture film, and it wasn't easy to do back in the day. But it was the Amityville home was vacant, and had been vacant for quite some time. And Ed went in with a detective to check the house. And lo and behold, a picture had been taken, even though the house had been vacant for quite some time. And so they checked the picture, and there's a little boy with no eyes peering around the corner at the camera.
Yeah. Yep.
Just a curious kid.
And when you, if you have not seen this picture, we show it on our ghost hunts. We show it in our lectures and things like that. This, I've got chills just talking about this picture. It's a little boy in his pajamas, and looks very much like one of the little boys that was killed originally in the home.
Yeah.
The DeFeo family.
The DeFeo family, yes. Exactly. Go do some research on it, but he looks very much like the little boy that was killed.
Yeah.
And the eyes are missing in the picture. And it's the only picture ever snapped inside of the Amityville home with nobody in it. Mm-hmm. And it's terrifying. It's really scary.
Yep.
When you look at this. And so yep. They reference this at the beginning of the film.
They do.
Nice.
It's a very cool Easter egg, if you know the history.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole movie is set in England. It's basically, it was called the Enfield Experience, or whatever.
I'm kind of surprised, for people who don't know, the investigators that were brought in for the true Amityville haunting were Ed and Lorraine Warren. Mm-hmm. They were also the stars of the first Conjuring and the Perrin home, and then the Amityville house. And so that's where their notoriety kind of grew.
Yes. Yeah.
But they kind of skipped. They went from the Perrin home to the home in England. They skipped over the Amityville house.
I think it
house.
Was really smart, because at the end of the first movie, remember, they're like, oh, we have a we
case
just got a
in
call
Amityville,
from,
New York. Yeah. To, yeah.
And I'm like, okay. But I think wisely, James Wan, he didn't want to remake Amityville because it has a remake every like 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And none of them good.
Right.
Honestly.
And this one actually goes more into, and what I really dig about it is the debunking part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was a hoax or how much of a hoax it was, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, there's actually a segment in the movie where Ed and Lorraine are on TV, and they have this guy who's just calling them out, saying, every house you go into, you think is haunted. He's like, no.
And that happened in real life, by the way.
Right.
Ed and Lorraine kind of got bullseyed on a talk show.
Yeah, and that's what it shows.
Yeah, okay.
But the majority of the movie, it shows this young family. It's a single mother, and she has four kids, and one of the daughters starts, you know, experiencing things. And they believe it's this old man who died in the house.
Mm-hmm. Which they show in the trailer.
She speaks with his voice.
My name is Bob Sinclair.
Yeah.
I'm 75 Bill years
Wilkins.
Old.
Yeah.
And I've got to get to the church on
like,
time.
It's a real Cockney accent, but it's
very much so.
Really gravelly. And it was funny because, like, you know, the first couple nights, you know, when every scary movie goes dark, it's night. Something mm-hmm. happens, like a drawer, you know, opens or a chair moves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, here we go. I just watched two nights of something barely moving. Typical scary movie. Mm-hmm. But the third night, just
all
so you know, like
it
very, very quickly in this movie, they're like, boom, this ghost doesn't care who sees it or who knows what's going on. The police are there. Crap is going crazy.
Yeah.
And it's actually very funny the way it does it too, because like it could go cliche, but the family is actually kind of smart about what they're doing.
Well, this house in the true story, this house, that's exactly how it happened. Mm-hmm. They have all kinds of video of the kids trying to do their homework in the kitchen, and the chairs are bucking them like horses. And stuff is moving around in the kitchen and sliding. The kids are sliding backwards in their chairs. And they're very just nonchalant about it. The family's like, well, whatever. You know, that's what we're dealing with. And this was a very in-the-face, in-your-face type of a haunting.
Oh, no. They show that, like, the police knew. All these news media people knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because they'd all seen it.
They'd all seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very cool. It's basically this race to save this little girl. The Warrens come in. And honestly, when it's just the family without, you know, without the Warrens, it's okay. It's a little dry. But whenever Ed and Lorraine are there, like in a scene, it's a great scene.
Cool.
Because they're great actors. They add a whole bunch to it. Yeah, and it's scary too.
Kind of an interesting time to release this movie, though, don't you think?
It is. Middle of summer, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
DVD release by October?
Yeah, that's true.
That's probably what they're hoping for, Netflix.
Also, what's great about this, it doesn't feel like the first Conjuring, maybe for better or worse, because that was just a really good haunted house one. This movie feels a little more demonic, honestly.
Oh, good.
And it kind of goes that direction.
How can it feel more demonic than the first one?
No, it does. It absolutely does.
I can't watch the first one in my house, dude.
Yeah. No. So we'll go see it. If you want to go see it, I would love to go see it again, actually.
I'm down.
Okay.
You know the thing that's funny is I know Andrea Perrin, mm-hmm. who was the oldest daughter in the first Conjuring movie.
Right.
You guys have spoken to her. She's been on the show a bunch, and she watched the movie, was terrified. The movie's about her family. She was like, I can't watch this. This movie is so damn scary.
What's funny is I remember reviewing this 3 years ago and how much crap started to go down right when we talked about this first movie.
We had a lot of problems
with
the parents, with just having the parents on Andrea and her siblings. And then one of the demonologists that the Warren family worked with. If you, I think those shows are actually available here on Podbash. You can go back and listen to some Halloween shows. Go, I'm not going to waste your time with it, mm-hmm. but we had a lot of real serious stuff go wrong with all of us.
Yeah,
for a period of months after that movie came out. And working with the people that were on the original case. Man, it got bad there for a while to the point where we almost stopped ghost hunting. It got so bad.
Yeah.
And we attribute the parents to that.
A little bit.
No, it's a true story.
It was actually after that I started to realize, if we can be frank here, that there was something going on at Brendan's house.
Yeah.
It was right after that.
Yeah, well, he's
remember
got
the TV
stuff from the parent
at that
home
exact
in the
moment
house?
When you see the face on the McDonald's commercial that looked like the ring?
Yeah.
Craziest crap ever.
No, it was really...
And maybe that's why I'm so... You know, I like these movies so much because I do feel like I've never met the Warrens. I've never met Lorraine,
Yeah.
But I do feel a tie there.
Well, you do have a tie there.
Yes.
You've interviewed people that were involved, and you interviewed the demonologist that was involved with the parents, a guy named Keith, who's private. I don't want anybody looking him up, but you were there. Calling Keith, we had a real problem.
That's weird. Yeah.
Which was one of the scariest things I've ever experienced. Simply because we had this guy involved with us for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And man, life went to shit so fast. We all have haunted artifacts. In fact, I've got Jess's from the Amityville home. I've got Takara's that I can't keep in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime I do keep this stuff in the house, everything goes to hell. Greg has some of these items. He can't keep them in his house. He has some articles from the Amityville house. I won't get into it. That were moving around on their own. He would put them places and then they would move to different places.
Because he opened the shadow box.
He did?
Yeah.
He did. What the crap?
Yeah.
We were told very clearly from Lorraine.
What? Why?
We were told very clearly from Lorraine, you guys can have these. Don't ever sell them or you're cursed.
Yeah.
Don't ever open the boxes and touch them or bad, bad shit's going to happen to you. So we have them and they're terrifying. I can't keep him in the house, but Greg, in his wisdom, opened it up and took out the stuff and was touching it and handling it, and then all of a sudden, the things started moving around on their
own. Dude!
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg!
You didn't keep yours in the house either.
No, it's still at work. I
donated at the job you don't have.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I would never take that thing home.
You should actually have Joel or somebody there just open it and just
I should. Right in the office of HR.
Really let all hell break loose in there. And if you think this stuff is funny and it's a joke, it's believe the four of us, it's damn serious. It's so serious that I can't keep this stuff in the house.
Mm-hmm.
None of us can. In fact, I kind of regret that we even had these. And we have talked several times about giving them away. We were told, Lorraine told us clearly, you can give them away as gifts, but you can't ever sell them.
Wow.
If you sell them, that's it.
Yeah.
But I don't dare give them to anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're so damn dangerous. So I couldn't have that on my conscience. So I'm stuck with this crap.
Yeah.
Like forever.
Jeez.
Yeah, but Greg's was moving around in his house.
What a dummy.
He'd hear it. No, he would hear it. You'd be sitting in another room and he would hear it sliding across the wall or sliding across the floor.
Oh, not okay.
Yeah. This stuff's real, man.
Right.
So
and
that's
Greg's
why I'm
the most skeptical, like, just chill, like, yeah, whatever, man.
Well, yeah. I got to tell you, I've got reservations about seeing the second Conjuring.
Even seeing it. Okay.
I have reservations about even seeing it because so much went wrong.
Well,
when this one
came out. Does feel a little bit more Hollywood. I mean, there is actually a little bit more CG in this one than they use in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it feels more like a movie that they try to fit together well. That's probably where the flaws are, and some editing stuff. They could have cut a little bit there. And they try to tie a lot of things together, which didn't quite work. But I will say, genuine tension. I mean, throughout the movie, and especially the end credits, I felt uneasy the entire time because they play the actual tape of the Warrens interviewing this little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, they play the real tape?
They play the tape.
Which, yeah, Abe, have you heard the real
tape? I have.
And they show
it's on YouTube.
Oh, is it really? Oh,
they show the photos of the family and everything like that. And I'm just like sitting there going, these are the worst end credits I've ever sat through. I just want to go.
Yeah.
This is not okay.
Oh, yeah, man. They've got a lot of the original stuff. I think they even have the kids trying to do their homework in the kitchen with the chairs bucking them and moving. I think that may actually be on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of it on YouTube.
I saw them years ago before they were on YouTube. I saw videotapes of them. But, yeah, it's terrifying stuff.
I mean, is this as good as the first? No, maybe not. But it's very, very good.
I will go see it in the theater, but I'm not having that shit on in my house.
Yeah. Okay. I'm the same way.
So we'll go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just won't watch it here.
Yeah. So I would say B+. Like, this is a movie that you go see in the theater because the crowd will be annoying, but they will scream when they need to scream and laugh when they need to laugh. And this is that kind of movie.
Okay.
Because you watch it at home, you're going to be like, oh, that's really like, ugh.
Yeah, that was the problem. I saw the first Conjuring, I don't know, a lot because of the ties that we have to those guys, the family and the Warrens and stuff. I think I saw 6 or 7 times in the theater.
Wow.
Because I would go with people. Oh, we've got to go with you, and you've got to come with us to go see it. It's sure. You can talk. You can tell us what's real and what isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Spinari and I went a lot. I think Jess and I, or Takara and I, went and saw it together, didn't we, at one point?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I probably went a lot. We went a lot.
Yeah.
With different people.
Okay, well, let's go.
But when we brought it home, when we watched it on video in the house, it had a totally different vibe in the house.
Yeah.
It was a really bad vibe in the house.
Huh.
When we put it on here, we were like, nope, we're never doing this again. Because the house was weird for days.
Well, after the problem that we did have in the house, and then watching the movie, nope. Nope.
We still have something in the house, which Kenny and Takara will back up. The house is still haunted. This house is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever's in here is harmless, and it's fine, and we're okay with it.
Yeah.
I keep seeing a white shadow right back behind Kenny.
Yeah.
She's
hanging out today.
It happens
with my hair.
It happens a lot here, especially when we're doing the show.
Yeah.
But it's harmless, and so I don't really... But we had something in here once upon a time that was really awful.
Yeah.
And it seems like anytime we watch anything like that, that door kind of opens up a little bit again. I don't know if the house is more susceptible to that, or I don't know. But that when we had The Conjuring on in here, it was nuts for like 2-3 days.
You could feel the molecules like changing in the room.
Yeah.
It was bad.
No, this is one of those movies where you're walking to your car in the dark, you're going to imagine the Crooked Man somewhere around.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Damn.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
It's so weird for me to watch horror movies in the theater, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it because people like bug you and then kind of get detached?
I don't know. I've just never really gone. Like, I went and watched one of the Paranormal Activities with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't watch horror movies in the theater.
I think that's when you need
home.
To see them, honestly. Because you get into the emotion of everyone. Yeah. I actually rewatch them at home like all the time. And there's a different vibe. But it is such an audience kind of experience. Even if there are people being like, oh, no, you don't. Oh, don't you dare go in there. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
I saw Insidious 3 in the theaters and loved it. And then watched it at home afterwards. And we're like,
this is lame.
Awful.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I think we all need to go.
Okay.
And give our reviews of The Conjuring.
Yeah, but give it a B+.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good review for our horror movie.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else? Anything else we need to discuss? By the way, just a quick kind of cliff note on something that we talked about. Was it last week?
Maybe.
Week before.
Oh, yeah. Last week.
Rogue One. We talked about Rogue One going into 4 weeks of reshoots. We've received word that they are actually reshooting half of the movie.
Yeah, it's like up to 40%.
Yeah.
Just a little under half of the movie is being completely redone, which I think is probably a good thing. But we'll have more Rogue One stuff coming up in the, in the coming weeks. But for those of you keeping track, they have gone through. Hopefully they took out that cheesy, this is a rebellion, right? I rebel.
I rebel.
Call.
All right, we get it. Okay. You hate it.
Anyway, so we're all the way done. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on another episode of Radio Ronin. Donate button is on. we'll see you next week, huh?
Yeah.
And are we doing Bash? Is there Bash music this week? No Bash music this week. Or is there Bash music this week?
No.
I don't know. We need to check our schedules. Tune into the social
Ultra
media.
Korea this week.
It's Ultra Korea this week? There will be no Bash music this week. Sorry. Actually, that may change. We'll double check the schedules and find out what's up.
Yeah.
We may be off to Korea. I don't know. Anyway, have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next weekend. And as always, peace.
This is the Radio Ronin Show on podbash.com.